Blog Talk Radio. Well, there we go, Lenny Kravitz. Well, welcome to the Ron Reck Show, folks. This is Ron Reck, your host, live on BTR. Yeah, what a day. I had a very busy day. I got a little late, got a little stick, started to get this show going. But I'm here tonight, and, you know, of course, I'm talking about banks again. That seems to be a kind of issue topic that ain't been talked about too much, and I think people need to get into that. See what's going on over Syria, and we'll take a look at some news clips here. But I do have a phone caller on the line. I need to get on here real quick, so we'll get to that person real quick. Hello, Sister Nagonia. How you doing?
Good evening, Brother Ron. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm good. I just sent you an email, a couple of good links for your topic, money, 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 money.
Yeah. I didn't know if you've seen the announcement or anything. I got kind of late programming the show in, so I'm running behind. You know, I have not heard from Antoinette today. Have you talked to Antoinette today?
I have, and she called me at 5:30, and I had to leave the house, came back, and returned the call and didn't get an answer.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
So I don't know what's going on with her. You want me to try to call her now?
Well, could you?
I can click over and do that.
Okay,
yeah, I'll do that.
Great.
I'll see if I can get an answer. All right, be right back.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay,
all
great.
Right.
Excellent, excellent. All right.
Okay.
So, Nagoni, right. Bless your loving heart.
Oh,
yeah,
no problem.
I was having a bad feeling. You know, I didn't.
She was doing real good today. We talked for about, 2 hours. Yeah. She was real upbeat and everything, you know. So
right. Okay.
She wasn't in a whole lot of pain or anything. She was, you know, happy and everything.
She's getting
she
around.
Said she was. Yeah, she said she was going to do some things in the house and. So maybe she just, I don't know, you know, I don't know.
All
I'll
right.
give her a call right now.
I didn't try her cell phone. Okay, go for that.
Okay.
She's usually right here on top of me, you know, beating me to the punch. But that's all right. That's Antoinette. That's my girl. I'll tell you what, I'm very, very proud and happy to have her as my co-host. You couldn't ask for a better person. I mean, you couldn't afford to buy one. That's what I think about Antoinette. She's a sweetheart to have. It helps make this show go a lot. Helps me out a lot with my busy schedule and lifestyle I live that I don't want to, but I still have to make other people happy. So I don't make myself very happy, but I'm a happy person anyway, so it don't matter. He's unhappy and he's happy. I'm always happy. But, yep, life has a lot of responsibilities, and when, you know, you try to be more resourceful to yourself and take care of things at your own place and be sustainable.
Oh,
do a lot
your
of work.
Call
oh,
has
go
been
ahead.
Forwarded
sorry.
To an automatic voice message system. 3.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Did you hear that over on your line?
Yeah, I heard it's on the radio. I'm going to try another.
Sorry.
I'm going to try our cell phone.
Okay.
If we had our cell phone or not. We'll put her on speaker.
Sorry about that, Ron.
Watch this. If she answers, I'm going to get her. Watch this. I don't know if y'all can hear this.
She didn't, you know, that's not like her. Something must be going on.
No. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Heck, way to start my show call, my co-host, ain't it?
The voice mailbox call 3.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, something's going on. That's not like her.
No. I'm sorry, folks. It's going to be a minute. You have to hang with me. Oh, shit.
I hope everything's okay.
Me too. I guess that's awfully odd for her not to ever call me. I know I got her son's number somewhere. I'm looking for it. Now we'll find it. I know I had the boy's number here.
Good, you found it.
No, I haven't found it. I got so many numbers in here you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yes, I would believe.
His name first. I know his first and last name, so they'd be one of those two, you know.
Yeah.
Don't see it. It's probably in damn email somewhere. Damn it.
Oh, man, I hope she's okay.
Yeah, me too.
know,
I have his number. Got Kevin's number?
You know, she may have left me a message. You want me to get off the line and see if there's a message for me? Because she did call me at 5:30
yeah.
and I wasn't here.
Okay,
I'll hang up and call back in, okay, and check my message.
All right, I'm going to play a clip. Right,
can I do that by just clicking over and listening to him? I don't think so. I think I have to get off because I have to call a number for that.
Okay,
I don't
want
to embarrass myself by having it being played on your radio, so I better call, just get off.
Okay. Right, I'm going to go up the line for a minute, too, and we'll talk here in a second. But I'm going to play some music real quick.
Okay.
Cover up some airtime.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to just get off and call.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get right back in a minute. We're good. All right. I get to wonder about the internet sometimes. Why does it not play right? When you want a video or you want a clip, you can't have it. I'll tell you what. And you get no sound. Get the song, no sound. That's always good, too. Always enjoyed that. So be patient with me, folks. Maybe I'll get a song going here in a minute.
This is gonna be a blues number.
Yeah.
But first I want to do a little bit of background on the blues and say what it is. Like there are six cardinal colors, and colors have always come to signify more than simply that particular shade, like red or got the blues. That's where you apply colors to something else, you know, to come up with what it is you're trying to say. So there are six cardinal colors, yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And there are 3,000 shades. And if you take these 3,000 shades and divide them by six, you'll come up with 500. Meaning there are at least 500 shades of the blues. For example, there's the I ain't got me no money blues. There is the I ain't got me no woman blues. There's the I ain't got me no money and I ain't got me no woman, which is the double blues. And for years it was thought that black people was the only one who could get the blues, so the blues hadn't come into no international type of fame. But lately we done had Frank Rizzo with the lie detector blues. We done had the United States government talking about the energy crisis blues. And we're going to dedicate this next poem here to Spearhead X, the X second in command in terms of this country.
Not the blues.
And the poem is called H2O GATE Blue. And if H2O is still water and GATE is still gate, what we're getting ready to deal on is the Watergate Blue. Let me see if I can dial this number up. Click. Click. I'm sorry. The government you have elected is inoperative. Click. Inoperative. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon, very surprising that we all can see the plot and still cannot. Let me do that part again. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon, very surprising that we all could see the plot and claimed that we could not. Just how blind, America? Just as Vietnam exploded in the race, snap, crackle, and pop could not stop people determined to be free. Just how blind will America be? The shock of a Vietnam defeat sent Republican donkeys scurrying down on Wall Street. And when the roll was called, it was Pepsi-Cola and Phillips 66, Boeing, Dow, and Lockheed. Ask them what they're fighting for, and they'll never mention the economics of war. Ecological warfare, above all else, destroy the land. If we can't break the Asian will, we'll bomb the dikes and starve the man. America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of a thousand disguises, sneaks up on you but rarely surprises, plundering the Asian countryside in the name of Fu Manchu. Afraid of shoeless, undernourished Cambodians, while we strike big wheat bargains with Russia, our nuclear enemy. Just how blind, America? But tell me, who was around where Hale Boggs died? And what was the cause of LBJ's untimely demise? And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover, the king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate? How long will the citizens sit and wait? It's looking like Europe in 38. Did they move to stop Hitler before it was too late? How long, America, before the consequences of keeping the school system segregated, allowing the press to be intimidated, watching the price of everything soar, and hearing complaints because the rich want more? It seems that Macbeth and not his lady went mad. We've let him eliminate the whole middle class. The dollar's the only thing we can't inflate, while the poor go on without a new minimum wage. But what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, and there are those who say America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool. What a game. How much more evidence do the citizens need that the election was sabotaged by trickery and greed? And if this is so, and who we got didn't win, let's do the whole goddamn election over again. The obvious key to the whole charade would be to run down all of the games they played. Remember Dieter Beard and ITT, the Slum of Attica, the CIA in Chile, knowing nothing about Allende at this time in the past, as I recollect. Augusta, Georgia, the nomination of Supreme Court Justice to head off the tapes. William Calley's executive interference in the image of John Wayne. Kent State, Jackson State, Southern Louisiana, hundreds of authorized bombing raids, the chaining and gagging of Bobby Seale. Somebody tell these Maryland governors to be for real. We recall all of these events. The water buggers in the water gave them no news. The thing that seems to justify all of our fears is that all this went down in the last 5 years. But tell me, what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. We leave America to ponder the image of justice from its new wave of leaders. Frank Rizzo, the high school graduate mayor of Philadelphia, whose ignorance is surpassed only by those who voted for him. Richard Daley, imperial Napoleonic mayor of Chicago, who took over from the same. George Wallace, Lester Maddow, Strom Thurmond, Ronald Reagan, an almost endless list that won't miss when at last America is purged. And the South White House, with the James brothers once in command, deserting the Singing House and their main man, McCord has blown Mitchell, no time on my telephone. Harlem follows a pattern. If you dig what I mean, Harlem and Early Mitchell Dean, if you dig what I mean. And what are we with now? Bumper stickers that say free the way, 500. My movies, the same name with a cast of thousands. And that's when I'm afraid that. But Ag didn't do enough to start. And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover, the king, is how bad they are those who swear they've seen King Richard. Beneath that cesspool, Watergate.
Thank you.
And there you go, another Gil Scott Heron song. Liberation song, man. It's a good tune. Hang on, man. I've got to hook a few things up. I'm trying to do a bunch of this and that and everything else. And hopefully y'all can hear me. I'll give it a shot. I'll try to do the best I can. Sorry about that. I've been looking up phone numbers and contact information, which apparently I'm not going to get none of. It's got me a little pissed off. I'm trying to get a hold of somebody like Antoinette's son, and I can't do it. It won't give me the contact information on my email. I don't understand why. But anyway, welcome everybody to the Ron Rex Show. Hey, N2K, how's it going tonight, man? We're looking for Antoinette. We can't find her, so we don't know what's up. Anyway, I'm going to get Sister Nagoni up back on the phone. All right.
Hey, Ron.
This,
there was no message.
Ma'am.
It was just a call and hang up.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
I can't. I tried to pull up. I got her son's contact information, but it won't come up on my Yahoo screen. It'll open every other mail. It won't open that one for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know what the hell that's about. Like, oh, lovely. Okay, I found you. Finally, you're looking for it so long because I had so many thousands of emails to go through, you know, to find it. But I got it, and it just won't show me nothing. I'll be damned. I mean, I got his email contact. That's it. But
the telephone number inside your contact information.
No, it's she typed it to me. Sent it to me in email. His phone number and email information. And that's what I was looking for, to call him. Hey, what's up with your mom, man? You know, not mean to be nosy, but, you know. We're just
I don't have
concerned.
Her family contacts.
Well, I had that one son's, you know. But good Lord only knows. I don't know. I kind of knocked me off my topic a little bit. But, I'm I am concerned about Antoinette. That's not like her very much.
No, I am too.
But she sent me an email at 6 o'clock this evening, so around 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at my email. So I, you know, I don't know if she knew I was coming on the air at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. That could be also. I never thought about that.
I asked her what time the show was, and she said she thought you said 9 o'clock.
Okay, that's probably why she's running behind. If that's the case, she might be doing something else. And she don't have a phone with her. Or she's got them on the charging
hall. Okay.
Yeah, so, never thought of that. Anyway, we got another caller on here. Let's see who this is real quick. And just carry on as we go. Hello, caller. How's it going?
Rick.
What's up, man? What's happening?
All right. What's up, Ron? Got Mark up in here.
Hey. What's up, Mark?
How's up, brother?
You see it, man? Brother? Trying to figure out what's next coming down the line from the government, the people on top, you know.
Yeah,
need to be on the bottom. But. What's
if
that, man?
I find something, I'll let you know, too.
Yes, yeah, send it my way, absolutely. I'm always watching. I mean, this deal with this naval yard shooting, that's kind of odd, as usual.
Right.
We don't have any good, we have no good actual terrorist attacks, you know. We just don't have good ones. None of them are good.
Ron?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that he was on SSRIs? He was under medical care. He had a high security clearance. He had shot through his neighbor's wall. He's used those games, Xbox games or whatever, your video games, like they said, 16
right.
hours
I caught
a
that.
Day. You heard all that stuff, huh?
I caught
okay.
that part. I caught that part of the video game, Jeff.
I said on Perry's show. I said, who trained?
And what else they said about he had already, he had shot out somebody's tires.
They gave him clearance, though, right when it was time for him to.
Well, you know, they probably just used him. See, I mean, why would the Navy allow somebody with that kind of trouble? I'm going to have to click mute out. Somebody's calling in, Ron.
Go ahead. Right ahead. Ain't most of the people involved with
the
government
the game, right?
on drugs?
I'm gonna go get you.
But it, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, man?
Fuse,
most of them
right?
on drugs anyway, aren't they? Right. But it's just, you know, wild, man.
To the people, to the vets that was in Vietnam, how they left them,
Right.
On
right,
heroin.
Exactly. Yeah.
What treatment
yeah.
did they give them?
So wouldn't you say that probably he was kind of used? If they knew he was troubled mentally, he was on those drugs, they still let him have a high clearance, and they let him come through. Don't you think he may have been kind of set up, used?
Right. Could be.
In one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, fall guy. Absolutely. You know how they do it. They choose hot plays.
He had all these problems, but yet... This was some of the stuff happened before he was the Navy, before he joined the Navy, and they still let him join the Navy, right? He had problems after. Did they help?
Yeah,
him?
Before and after. You got to pass the physical. Can't handle mental issues when you go in the military.
And it seems like all these shooters are troubled people, and they use them for these mass shootings.
Right. When they get into combat and join the forces, they get even more crazy.
Yeah, because they're trained killers then. Greetings, everybody. N2K, and I don't know who else is on the board. How you doing?
Good evening.
Good.
Sir, what happened 2 days ago in New York in Times Square, brother? Let them know?
Yeah.
Tell them what happened.
Some dude that was, like, I guess they say he was mentally ill or whatever. He was running around 40 dudes, like, over there.
Times Square.
No, 42nd, the bus terminal area. But outside. He was outside. He was in the street running around. They were trying to stop him. And he kept sticking his hands in his pocket and pulling his fingers out like he had a gun. And the cops decided to shoot at him, and they shot two innocent bystanders. You know, one got grazed in the butt, and the other one... got hit in the knee. It was a lady. She was on a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And she got hit in the knee. And they, you know, got him down. I think they taped him. I think that's what they should have done in the beginning. Right. But, I mean, there was a lot of people out there, you know, was really packed. And they were shooting at this guy. He didn't even have a gun. They were just shooting at him. And he was running all around the place. I mean, some bystander recorded.
He was playing chase.
He recorded the whole scene with his phone, and that's what they were showing in the news. The guy was running around. They said like it seemed like he wanted to get hit on purpose by a car. He kept running towards the cars.
He lay down on the floor. They said too.
Yeah, he lay down. I mean, he did a bunch of crazy stuff, and they were like, what gets me is that he had like probably 50 cops out there, you know, and they were all like afraid to even grab him. Like, you know, it's like I don't know. They weird, man, because their job's supposed to be to sustain them, you know, bring them down, put the handcuffs, but they weren't even doing that, man. They were just, the first thing they did was pull out their guns and point it at them, and that's how these two innocent bystanders got hit, you know? And then when they knew he didn't have a gun, I mean, they should have went and, you know, it's enough for y'all. Just grab them. Bum bust them. Grab them and, you know, sedate them, you know, like hold them down and put their handcuffs on them, whatever you got to do. But they act more afraid than the people.
They've been militarized.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, they're supposed to be out here, they're supposedly to protect the people, but...
That's a myth.
That was an incident. They act more afraid than anything, you know what I mean? It's like...
What you said about them supposed to be out here to protect us, that's a myth. The Supreme Court ruled that policemen have no responsibility to protect our lives. That's the Supreme Court ruling. And the North Carolina... Circuit High Court ruled that policemen are private contractors. They even had a press conference in North Carolina telling the police officers to take all the property they had out of their name and be prepared to be sued by the people of North Carolina, and North Carolina would no longer provide them with their bonding. They are private contractors. They have no responsibility to protect us whatsoever.
Right. I mean, that's how it all started, though. You know what I'm saying? It was all private. The Irish started, you know, that whole thing. And it was all privately owned. I mean, it was an organization, actually, they started. And they weren't even uniformed when they were supposedly patrolling their neighborhoods. And then it was a nonprofit organization. Then they started asking for donations, and little by little, you know, they got the uniform, so on and so on. But it is, yeah, it's privately owned.
Well, maybe at one time in this, you know, one time that, you know, you had people walking the beat in the neighborhoods that were out there helping the people, but now it's changed. I don't know when it changed exactly, but something happened. I don't know what exactly it was.
That's the police, when they want to turn, you know, things, police state, basically, they want to, you know, rule with an iron fist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, control the neighborhoods and the people with an iron fist, and that's, you know, they're trying to turn it into a police state, basically.
I don't think they're trying, brother. I think they got it done.
I mean, it's not fully in effect. I mean, what we have to understand also is that at the same time, we have these type of activities going on with the government or whatever, or police and all that, you know. We have those out there that have power as well that they ain't going to give that up either. You know, they ain't going to let it go down fully. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there
are people out there, I agree.
Realize that are fighting against that. You know what I mean?
I agree.
You know what I mean? So we can't just automatically.
Structure has been in place.
You know what
I'm trying to
I
say.
Mean, we have, that's the whole thing. That that's
just
why
like they fought,
full
for
force.
That
that's why things haven't gone full force. Where if we didn't have those people fighting for it not to happen, then it would have been happening. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we do have congressmen and people out there that are aware, and they ain't letting it happen. You know,
I agree with
you. Put it that way, you know.
I agree with you. I remember about 3 years ago or more when they started doing military and joint police exercises in parks when I was in Indianapolis,
right.
Indiana. I'm sure it was going on around the country. Oh. So it's been about like 10 years, you know, they've been laying the infrastructure for all of this, you know, to come forth. But like you said, and you're correct, that there obviously are forces at work keeping this from coming full effect.
Indiana's real racist, huh? Is that true or what?
America's racist. What are you talking about?
No, America, but I mean, you know, you got some states that are more racist than others in the sense of, you know, you could.
I've lived in Georgia. I've lived in Indiana. I'm now living in Florida. I don't see no difference nowhere. I mean, I don't say everybody is racist in America, but I'm saying racism exists in every state of the union. Because
right.
There
I
are
went,
race
I went to Gary,
in state of the
Indiana,
union.
And it looked like a, like it was an abandoned old town, like a western town when I went there.
What? Which town? Indianapolis?
Gary, Indiana.
Oh, I'm not. I don't know anything about. I've never been to Gary, Indiana. I said Indianapolis, Indiana.
Right. No. I went by.
Well, that's
over
what
there.
You'd be. You'd be
like
nowhere.
Where Michael Jackson is from?
Huh?
Like, where Michael Jackson was born? It looked like shit.
Oh well, that's a very depressed
Gary,
area
Indiana.
Because you know they sucked all the. Like Ron was. Somebody was talking about sucking all the air. They sucked all the air out of them communities years ago, and
right.
It's the same way like in Ohio where I was born. Because when they pulled the steel mills out, you know. But, you know, my whole thing, I think racism is institutionalized. It's not, you know, everybody's not racist, but it's just,
nobody's born that way, you know.
By, yeah.
Nobody's born racist, you know.
You're
I mean,
programmed.
Yeah. You know, they learn. Yep. They learn that.
Programmed.
Yeah.
That's what you're
saying. And the people we're pitted against each other and made to fear each other, stereotyped, profiled on both sides, you know. It's horrible. It's just horrible. But I think it's changing
though.
Grading
each other. You know,
mm-hmm.
The rich and the poor, the preppy, the punks,
right.
You know.
It's all perpetuated on purpose to divide and conquer.
Really was,
and for those
really,
who follow
really
those extremes are retarded.
Thing, what's really sad about this whole thing is that the ones in power, you know, you have so many people in power that are racist, you know what I'm saying, that they just go and feed it into the people, you know what I'm saying, and just in so many
right.
ways, you know what I mean, they feed it into the people, like, you know, subliminally, you know. They
well, yeah,
there,
we,
they,
the, ma- the,
the,
the main, the media, you know, really plays on people like that, you know. But on the
right.
ground, I mean, I see more good people than nice people of all colors.
Well, yeah.
I don't really believe in race. I think there's only one race, and the concept
you're
of race
exactly
created
right. You're
by.
Exactly right. This is why I always tell people, like, you know, we can always look at the negative part of things, but, you know, we also have the positive side of it, man. You know what I mean? So if you just stick to the negative part, and that's all you're going to see, and that's all you're going to, you know, basically attract, you know, but.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't, you know, I don't believe in the concept of race. That was created by some, you know, scientists back in the late 1800s, and, you know, for whatever reason they did. I know one of them's name is a John Blumenbach, a German. And they wrote these kind of concepts up and then, you know, to justify certain things that were being done. But as you can see, in the elite class, it don't matter what color you are. If you got billions, you see? And if you go back in history, the history of Europe, when you look at all the shields.
It's just out there. Like you said, the elite, it doesn't matter, right? But what we also have to realize is certain elites that don't think that way, and then they are those who do. You know, there are those who are like, you know, they skinheads, Nazis, or whatever, that were brought up that
elite.
Way. And they
the skinheads are not elitists. The elite class, if you go back to the royalty of England and remember the, what was the name of those three-volume works? I know N2K knows, Race, Sex, and Something. It had all the shields, the images of the royal family in Europe, and, you know, in the royal families, they had their shields that had black African images. What was the name of those
right.
three-volume work? What was that author's name? Oh, it's not coming. Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of things have been, you know, history's been rewritten, you know.
And that field, remember, there are those who, it's just like anyone else, you know, you have a... In your family, you could have somebody that's studying about whatever or goes out there and learn whatever it is in life, you know. And if you, in your family, let's say you're wealthy and you're one of the elites that have money to control and power, then right in that set of the family, someone could be a skinhead. Someone could be studying the way the KKK think and whatnot. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, well, you know,
like
I would call that eugenicist, like Malthus and people like that is what Is that what you're talking about?
Viewpoint family?
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah, you ever heard of the, I think it's the DuPont family. What is it?
DuPont.
Right?
The eugenicists.
Those people are maniacs, man. Look at their history, man. And they got money, and they're controlling a lot of shit. And they got molesters in there, child molesters in their family. They got rapers, and they got, you know, drug addicts and all that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's what I'm saying, that it, within that circle of elites, man, that you got a lot of bugged out people, man. You know, and the crazy thing is that because they have power and money, if they have someone in the family that's a child molester, then these people will get them, like, you know, to feed into that. They'll get them kids, like maybe from any other country or whatever, whoever they want to get them. They'll get him so he could feed into his sickness, you know? So they could feed him into his sickness, you know, feed him whatever it is that he needs. And it's just like I said, man.
Like
you know,
the Catholic Church does.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's really that bugged out, man. People don't really think that goes on. Yeah, it do, you know? You feed people with a lot of money.
What people
man,
think, but I know
going.
It goes on.
You know?
Excuse me?
Oh, I was just saying I don't know what people think, but I know what you're saying. I'm, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah,
well, I don't. What was the
like
man's
the Kennedys? You know what I'm saying?
Anyway,
when you know when you remember when he was driving the vehicle and the car crashed, and the girl was she wound up drowning, and that was what's his name Ted Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wound up drowning and everything, right? And he was supposedly he was drinking and all that. You know, which they came to find out all that, and he left the scene of the accident because the car winded up in the lake and all that. He never set time for that or anything. You know what I'm saying?
Because he has money.
Again, because exactly. So these people get away with murder. So it's like, you know, it's from
political
whatever,
influence.
You know.
You got to remember that one.
Political
influence.
Right,
but it's always
right.
been that way, hasn't it? I mean, if you go back as far
yeah,
in history...
It takes money to get that influence called lobbying. You can lobby
right,
for anything.
Right, right, right. You know,
so you get my boy off this man, I'll throw you a quick million.
I'll throw you a quick $1 million to get my boy off this deal, man. So, you know, it'd be cool. Yeah, you know,
right.
No big deal. Just chump change. Beer money.
It's just for us
to me, you know.
It's just to open up your eyes, I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Or your mind and see that, you know, when they take things like that's an accident, right? But then what about when you have the ones that are actually sick and like to kill people? And want to kill people, want to see somebody suffer, you know what I mean, and torture people, because there's a lot of people in that circle that likes to do that.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Who is this? Hey, is this Jay?
Mark and Jay. I'm Mark.
Hi, how y'all doing?
I'm Mark now.
Mark's Mark, Jay's Jay. There you go, all right.
I'm Jay.
Hey.
Mark is Jay, Jay is Mark,
you
know, something like that.
How you doing?
Yeah.
I'm good. Now, I get your point, but, you know, let's examine this side of the issue. You know, these elites couldn't do all that they do without our participation.
Exactly. Hmm. And I always say that. Exactly. It's the same thing with governing. It's people dealing with other people. You know what I'm saying? People governing other people. You know what I'm saying? The governing is not something that's like from Mars and something from space. It's just people governing other people. You know what I'm saying?
No, but my point is that they couldn't get away with what they do without our acquiescence, without our consent, without our participation. You couldn't have Vietnam if we weren't
but they give
all
consent without knowing it.
Right, but remember, right, exactly. Remember,
and I know that. But I'm saying,
it's not like a democracy.
Who knows?
And
so we do know now.
We can't say, you know, before, yeah, maybe, but not now. Now we can't say.
Let me ask you a question. When did we lose the power? I'm saying as the people, because, you know, now it's all about corporations and politics. But when did we lose the power as the people when we had the unification? At what point did we lose the unification where now we don't really matter in a sense because we don't unify?
From my reading of history, I don't know what unify you talking about. I mean, as I recall reading the history of ancient Kemet,
right.
Rome, and Babylon, the Punic Wars, the Hundred Years' War, the Hannibal. What unity are you talking about? The Earth is the history of the Earth is war.
Right. But
well, the con game started after the Constitution was wrote. That's when the con game started.
Right, right, right.
When the Constitution was wrote, then the con game started.
Once again, remember, it's what they feed us. Whenever you read history, they give us all the negativity shit that went on. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like the news. When you watch the news, you see a lot of negativity. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they keep feeding people, all the crazy shit. So now what happens is we start to think that way. You know, we start to think and really start to feel like, oh, that's the way it's got to be because that's the way it is. You know?
Well,
what
about when you come? Actually, you're born into this because when you come out of your mother's womb, your parents have already been trained and conditioned. And so then they pass it on from generation to generation. But we're waking up now. See, those of us on this show obviously read history, know a lot of things about history, and know a lot of things about what's going on in our environment. So, well, I think, you know, we can talk about that forever. But what about, you know, reflecting on how we participate in it and how we can change it? By understanding what can we do, each one of us, to make the difference.
Right.
Because we, you know, you see?
I think, yeah, I mean, I agree because I think I think we all have to play a part. You know what I mean? If we're in the existence of, you know, what's going on in this day and time, and we're here to witness all these things that are going on, then I think we need to be a voice. You know what I'm saying? We need to go out and speak. I mean, at least even to the generation coming up, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like this guy said one time, Perry was saying, the people that fucked it up is the elders, you know what I mean? The elders are the ones that really for the young generation coming up, because then they start following through, you know what I'm saying? And then,
see, that's the danger of starting history without going all the way back and seeing when you know, you have to recognize the fact that, yes, the generation before you, which I am part of, was conditioned to be star nail fools. They raised us up on instant gratification and money, money, money. That's the topic of tonight, Ron Rex Show. And they had us think You push a button and get some instant mashed potatoes, instant this, instant that. So, you see, when you point the finger at the generation above you, then you got to point the finger at the generation above them because, like I just said, you're born into this. So the parents of the generations going all the way back have been conditioned to pass down the programming from one generation to the next. So the only thing each generation can do is try. It doesn't do any good to blame the ones before you, because if you go back and you look at it, you know, let's go all the way back to when we were in chattel slavery. Let's start there, okay?
Right, but it would be
even though we're
say,
still in the, a kind of slavery.
Right, right. But it would,
things
would be
have changed. It's just been modernized, so we can't just look at all the dark side. We got to look at some of the good things too. Look
say,
at
would,
the mis-
I'm almost done.
Let's look at the mistakes of the generation before you made, yes, but don't sit up and blame them because they're just as oppressed as you are.
Well, then again, I mean, I'm talking about the oppressor. You see, I'm talking
and
about
you
the
just,
ones that are...
It, it's the generation ahead. That includes everybody in the generation because we didn't know how to teach our children this stuff because we didn't know it. I'm 65 years old.
The thing is, listen, the thing is, number one, is breaking the cycle, and you had mentioned a couple of different things. For me, the main thing is breaking the cycle, you know.
Right.
And then moving on, you know, I mean, how do we move forward?
The deal is,
we move forward by taking personal responsibility, each and every one of us, and it's obvious that the people on this show are doing that because you guys are knowledgeable in history. I'm learning here, you know, the reading, studying, trying to understand how the thing works, and because you can't take you can't take effective action if you don't know what the problem is. So we're
go. That's what I'm saying exactly, and that's what I was going to get to right now. That I was going to say. At the same time, we also have to, you know, to get to solve a problem, you got to know what the problem is and how it started. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
exactly.
You got to know what it is so we can fix it, right? So at the same time, that's one of the problems I have whenever I speak about, you know, things that happened in the past, let's say with slavery, let's say bigotry and all this, you know what I'm saying, and human rights and stuff like that. You know, people always go like, oh, you need to forget about that. I said, well, if you forget about it, then guess what? It can repeat itself because we're just going to fall right into the trap again. You know what I'm saying? And
well, you can be, I think you can be aware of it, but I think, you know, we can beat and feel the drum, just beat on that. Don't move forward on anything.
You
see what I'm
saying?
Well, you only hear a wise old saying. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Ron.
Okay,
you only
hear a wise old, you want to hear a wise old saying? All right.
Yeah.
This might kind of sound weird, but you check this out. All right. Alone, we can move buckets, but together we can move rivers.
Uh huh.
How's that sound to you? That is
found.
That is from Mike Brady.
Something to really
that is from Mike Brady on the Brady Bunch movie. Yeah, that was on the Brady Bunch movie. He said that to the kids. You know, alone,
right? But
you can move buckets.
See that
but
we
together
cannot...
you can move rivers.
That's true, but we can't pretend like things that happened didn't happen. We have to see the whole thing, but then we have to be willing to take personal responsibility to heal those things and move forward. But that can only be done by each person being willing to change their self, because this is not going to change until we take responsibility for what we do and how we think. And one of the things that I want to share, and then I'm going to shut up, I promise. I'm starting
That's
to sound
okay.
like all.
Go carry on.
one of the things I can say that I can share with you is that, in my view, for whatever it's worth, if it's anything, you know, value to you, take it. If it's not, throw it in the trash. But I used to spend a lot of time running around trying to wake other people up, you know, give them all kind of information, copying books, dubbing tapes, and trying to shake everybody awake. I think that's a big mistake. Move with people who are searching for truth. Move and work with them and change yourself, and then by example other people will want to know, wow, what you know, I want to know what they're, instead of running around always trying to argue with people and convince people and wake people up. I think that's a mistake. Work with people of like mind who want to be together and work together regardless of what you look like, came from.
Sister, sister. That's the saying, right? They say the lips of wisdom are closed except to the ears of understanding.
Oh,
you know,
run that by me one more time. I need to write that down. The lips of what?
Lips of wisdom are closed except to the ears of understanding.
Now, give me the profound meaning of that in
the
your own words.
The lips of wisdom are closed except to the ears of understanding, meaning that the lips of wisdom will stay shut. If you're not ready to understand, if you're not ready to comprehend what you're about to feed into that person, food of thought, then you shouldn't even open your mouth. Don't even waste your time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're saying the same
energy.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. I admit it. I used to run around. They used to disperse when
so,
they seen me
so
coming.
Once you have the wisdom and you know, you're going to know whether this person is ready to accept or not. Once you just
well, they'll find you.
With a few words.
If they're searching, they'll find you.
Right. So they say the lips of wisdom are closed except to the ears of understanding. When you know that a person is listening and they're understanding what you're saying and they go, okay, you know what I'm saying? That now you don't. Now it's progress. But if you're trying to explain something to somebody and all they want to do is argue with you and they want to keep, you know, ranting and saying, nah, that's not what it is, then, you know, it's a waste of time. You know what I mean? You shouldn't even.
Same page.
You know what I'm saying?
What I said, we're on the same page. I agree with you 100%.
Right. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, like you said, because everybody's not going to get it, man. You know?
All facts, I love you.
You know where they at, because, you know, that's what it is. That's just how it is, you know. Some people just won't. They not going to get it, man. You know? No
but
matter
that's okay.
What,
see,
we're
not responsible. We're responsible for what we do.
I always say it starts with you, ends with you. As long as you have peace with yourself, you know what I mean? Because when you have one with yourself, they can tell you the world's going to end tomorrow, and you won't worry. You see what I'm saying? Because you know you have one with yourself. You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't, you know, that it wouldn't be one little nick of worry in you, because when you're comfortable and you have peace of mind with yourself, you won't worry about it.
Well, yourself is the only person you can control or change. You can't change or control anybody else.
Exactly. It starts with you, ends with you, you know?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
And it's and life is a learning process, you know.
That's right. And I always say it, though.
Never
the biggest war we have is with ourselves.
You say what?
I said the biggest war we have is with ourselves.
Ooh, absolutely. Yes. Yes, indeed.
No.
Now, Ron made a topic tonight, money. Ron, tell us why you want to talk about money tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Money?
Yeah, why?
Well,
what made you, what was in your mind when you made the subject topic tonight?
Well, I was.
Is my volume loud?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
I was watching a documentary on Hank Paulson. Remember him?
Yes, sir.
You know who he is? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's a pretty smart guy. You know, he wasn't too stupid. He got into a situation when he got Secretary of Treasury. He got some shit he shouldn't have been into, you know. But it all goes down to the fact where, you know, if you could really pay attention and understand most of what it tells you, is everything is a corporation, even you, and you are a corporation. Like we talk about the police, you know, they're independent contractors. That's right. They are. Everybody is. Even if you work at McDonald's or you work at Walmart or wherever, you are contracted. Your corporation is contracted to perform a service, okay? Because now when you hear radio dispatch calls for police from a dispatcher, it is a call for service. You see what I'm saying? And when you say service, that means something needs to be serviced. And there's a fee involved with that service. Do you see? So it's not really important. The police don't really give a shit because there ain't no money in it. You know, it has to be something worth money. So that means that the violation that corporation did means more money that the jail will make because of the higher corporate interest of that functioning problem. Or why would they let
you
post bail?
Did you get that email I sent you with the link, structure of the birth certificate and modern money mechanics?
When did you send them? Today?
I sent it right at 9 o'clock when you opened up your show. As soon as you came on, I told you, but you was busy trying to get Antoinette.
Right. Yeah, I didn't look in that part. I will check those tonight, definitely, after the show. I will look at those for sure.
I don't really know how you want to approach this, so if I'm going in the wrong direction, just let me know and I'll, you know, stop. But when you stay the topic money, Wouldn't it be wise for us to define what money is first before we try to talk about it? You know, what kind of money are you talking about? You're talking about commodity money. You're talking about promissory money. You're talking about money on account. You're talking about fiat money. What are you talking about?
Well, it's all fiat money. It's all fiat. All paper money.
Well, it's all fiat now, but it hasn't always been fiat.
No, when the gold standard used to back it, right, correct. But I'm not going to the issue of money. I'm talking about today. I'm talking the way it's going right now.
Ask questions, so now I understand the topic. Okay, gotcha.
I should find it a little better. I'm in a hurry, but I'm talking about today what it is. You know, from what it has been, which when it was worth something, to where it is now worthless. You know, but I'm talking about the effect it does on people. You see what I'm saying? The effect. You control the money, you control the people. You know, Rothschild said it himself. And he's proven it. Proven that fact. Mm-hmm. He should have a Nobel Peace Prize and everything else for that quote.
But now, you think it's important? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is it's came to the point where it's no longer anybody for anybody. It's all for the greed, all for the money. Every little thing, every little aspect of life anymore is all about money. That's all we do every day. Everybody, for that money. But the thing is, they played with the money. They played their lives with it. That's what they've done with it. That so-called fake thing we believe
in.
Some
people left the country with their money already, like whatever was left, because it kept going down. The American money keeps going down.
Well, about 11,000 people actually left.
Somewhere else.
This is a debt.
11,000.
This is a debt system.
11,000.
Me and Antoinette was talking about, you know, how when you're on the radio, you can't see people, you can't see their body language, so it's easy to step on each other. I just want y'all to know I'm not trying to step on nobody. So, and we were talking about how maybe we keep from stepping on each other, and like maybe I don't know, maybe somebody can come up with some ideas of how we can do that.
Well, I don't know. It's talk radio.
With the stuff what he's doing, people could even learn from what Ron. Ron got a show. He's doing. He's walking the walk, talking the talk. He has the basic necessities. He's off the grid. So right there, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's one lesson that a person could learn. You know, the other thing is growing the food. You know, these are the basic things that a person could do. That's what we all have the power to do. We're limited in power what we can do and control certain things. Basic things that we can control is our own destiny. Is if shit hits the fan and there's no food supply and there's no electricity, the basic necessities that we need is food, clothing, and shelter. You need to have a working, water. So that's the basic. I think that's the best thing that a person could start off is learning that and learning survival. You know how it is to survive a couple of days if you gotta eat. You know, you might have to save your food and stretch it out, or might not have be able to eat a day or two, or eat a day and then not eat a day, and how to survive with water. How to, you know, stretch out certain things if it comes to that, you know, to that point. You know, I mean, if a natural disaster happens, a natural disaster, nobody can control that. But at the end of the day, I think for me, it's the basic necessities, because we've seen it time and time over and over again, whether it be a natural disaster or man-made, what the people need is food, clothing, and shelter. You know?
Good point. Now, I don't know... I don't know. Ron was talking about how he sees money, and I'm still trying to follow your train of thought, Ron, because you always say it's about greed, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I'm trying to follow your logic, you know, and flow with your thought process about how I always say it's a debt system. So to me, that brings confusion, because to me that's why I suggested we define what we're talking about when we talk about money, because it's a debt system.
Let me ask you a question.
Ron was getting ready to respond to what I asked him. I'm sorry. That's what I meant by stepping on each other.
Right. No.
I do it too. I'm trying not to.
Money has a lot of definitions to it. It has its basic definition of exactly what it is, okay? But it has a lot more definitions. A lot of them, a lot of different colors to it. Okay, my whole point tonight, while I was doing this topic, the show tonight, is what I'm talking about: how the money system works now, how it has become so well known and so obvious the way it works.
But
you know, way people are using it now, to compared to what it was yesterday, to what it is today.
And it's collapsing on them. That's what I'm saying. It came so apparent.
But don't you think it's important, Ron, for us to, you know, there's a Chinese saying that says the beginning of wisdom is calling things by their right name. We don't have any money. We have credit and debt, period.
Right. Well, we got what we call, when it goes back down to the basic definition of that, it's called greed again. It always goes back to greed. Always remember that. Always goes back to
That's
greed.
Where you lose me.
Because there's a reason, okay, why are you in debt? Because you wanted something.
I say this. Real quick,
that's not greed
you want,
because
you want
a bed to sleep in.
No, but you know what the problem is that has the elite decided, you see how they trying to, oh, well, they should pay more taxes. Has the elite volunteered themselves and say, you know what, we're going to pay extra. We're going to take losses on this. They holding on to their money.
The monetary system, in my view, is a system of control. The functionaries up under those who control the monetary system may be greedy, Ron, but the ones on the very top that created the monetary system that was designed to control don't need money because they created the concept of the debt credit system to enslave us. And the problem is that they loan us the currency at interest. It's usury that's the problem.
Right. It's called a Ponzi scheme. That part of the definition is called Ponzi scheme, and it's been working pretty well for them. But you got to remember, here's another one for you. Why does a bank robber rob a bank? Why does a bank robber rob a bank? Because he wants money?
They got insurance. They get that money
He's
back.
He's got greed. He's got greed in him. Right. He wants something. He can control something.
But wanting something and greed, Ron, how do you say that's the same thing? People want to have a roof over their head. They want food in their refrigerator.
I want a new Cadillac.
What's wrong with a new
Cadillac?
Texas.
You want a new Cadillac.
Does that make somebody greedy? If you work and you have a skill like you do, you're a physicist, you're a designer of what do you call them things? What do you think them things you created, Ron? Windmills and stuff like that. And you make that kind of living and you get those kind of resources based on your skills. What's wrong with you having a Mercedes? Or that don't make you greedy.
Yeah, but they want 10 Mercedes.
Sure it does.
Hello, that's
sure
not a problem. Listen, that's not a problem having a Mercedes. That's not what it is. The greed is when you start to drive people and take away from them. You know what I'm saying? The way they're doing with the Federal Reserve and the way they're doing with IRS and all the stuff that they're doing that's against the law to the people, and they're taking everything they own because
that's a mechanism of power and domination.
They could snatch exactly, but that's the greed.
It all comes back to
the elite, that they take everything away from people. You know what I'm saying? If you have a business and they have their business, they're going to take over your business. And your business
is
going down. If they see
over because of the control. They own money. They create money. You know what I need to do? I'm going to stop because I'm going to read the definition of greed because evidently I don't understand it.
Google greed.
Greedy.
Google the word greed.
Greedy.
Do that because I'm not getting
it. They're not satisfied. They can have all. They can have enough money for them to survive.
They want more than anybody.
20 lives after now, and they still greedy and they want the money and they still want to take over. That's greed.
Don't they want over? Don't they just want to dominate?
They're going to dominate because you get the best of both worlds with greed.
Right.
You get the best of the whole world with greed. The whole world. One, you get the power. You get the control.
As much as money as they are.
You are next to a god when you have all the money.
There is no money.
That's right.
There's only debt.
I know that, but the way they play the game, they control it regardless.
Right,
they have anything worth money. Right.
What they have done is they have taught us to worship money. Our whole life revolves around money. In America, if you don't have any fiat currency, see, I don't like to use the word money because I believe it brings confusion. If you don't have any fiat currency, if you don't have any Federal Reserve notes, there's not too many things you can do in this society if you want to go. You know what I'm saying? We don't value relationships. We feel sad if we don't have any Federal Reserve notes, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I can tell you, I've been eating beans all this week, okay? I've been eating beans and Campbell's chicken soup, and I was so sick of it. You know, you just feel you feel like you're just deprived if you don't have any extra Federal Reserve notes. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah, because that means
right.
The way the system is set. It's the way the system is set. We know,
so that means
it,
that taught us the value of worshiping the golden calf, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that basically what it
yeah.
is?
There's two things people fail to understand. Here's what they do. Here's what this pisses me off. I see people going to Walmart, spend a bunch of money on a bunch of worthless bullshit, and then they can't make the rent.
Right.
You know what I mean? That pisses me off. Now, okay, that goes back to the old saying, which is a real good term. I like to use a lot of it, is where it becomes you have to take the two differences between need and want. You have need
right.
and you have want. You need to stop them fucking want.
You don't need five of them.
Take care of the need. First. Always need first.
You're absolutely right, but most of us, how many of us was taught about managing money or investing when we were in high school?
I wasn't either.
I didn't know.
I didn't either.
I was self-taught.
I
was self-taught. I'm glad I learned.
Become
you know?
Rich, they end up becoming broke again.
They taught us instant gratification. You get a paycheck on Friday, go to the mall immediately, get your new leather outfit so you can go out Saturday night and shake your booty. Huh? Tell it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's what they taught, instant gratification.
And remember, the money that they spend it on is not
coming
back to
equally
the community.
Greed again.
We don't have
greed
any
now.
Money. We have credit and debt.
I understand
but
that,
you know
but the artificial money we have is what we greed for.
Here's the beauty of money.
Hello.
Here's the real beauty of money is to get people to believe in something that is not real.
Real.
Amen. N2K, you couldn't have said it any better. That's it.
Come back to greed again.
I will quote Gordon Gekko in Wall Street when he gave his speech to the stockholders of Teldar Paper Company. Greed is good. Greed clarifies. Greed of love, greed of money, greed of happiness. He covered everything that you could be possibly greedy about to give it a very generic presence. All the while, the esoteric message is he's rationalizing the unequal distribution of wealth. And that's
mm-hmm.
That's what the elite do. They rationalize it while the people who are, as you go down the pyramid, the people knock themselves out
all the phone
for little or nothing. And that's a movie I always recommend to people because it really does a very good job of explaining how the American economy works. And then you can broaden it to the rest of the world. When Charlie Sheen comes to see him because he finds out that he got Gordon to invest in his father's airline where his father worked for over 35 years, he ends up finding out not from Gordon but from his friend who's a lawyer that Gordon has not only bought it but he's about to liquidate it. He busts in his office and this is what Gordon tells him. He goes, I create nothing. I own. He says 90% of the American public have little or no net wealth. And they sit and wonder how we pull that rabbit out of our hat, come up with the price of a paperclip, famine, upheaval. He said, you didn't think you were living in a democracy, did you? People really need to watch that movie. They really do.
I watched it 75 times. Gordon Gekko was my hero in 1987.
Oh, Lord. And you saw what happened to Charlie Sheen. That was Charlie Sheen's hero, too.
That's Bud Fox. Yeah, well, Charlie Sheen, you know, it can happen.
Good actor.
Good evening, Mr. Beasley.
Good evening. How are you, Sister Orgoni? I got your name right.
Fine. How are you doing?
I just didn't know how to pronounce
it.
Now I do.
That's the whole thing about money. It's just if you can get people to believe in something that's not real, you have complete, total, utter control over them. That's the beauty of religion.
Exactly.
Make them have faith. Get them to have faith and believe.
Illusion.
That's it.
Illusion.
They take your
game
money
is over after
and
that.
Your,
game is over.
At the same time.
Illusion.
But can I say, how are y'all going to interact without currency?
Well,
that's what I was
going to
say.
Is
it,
trade, things to trade,
I'm going back to the caveman days myself.
Barter system. How long did we interact before currency?
Barter systems only come up when
fiat currency collapses.
All
fiat currencies have always collapsed. So the dollar, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Barter
system with the history
up.
But
when
what? Let me ask you guys. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Gold and silver.
Exactly. I was going to ask you, what did currency represent? What the currency represented before 1933, after another crash like we had in 2008, is the currency represented, it was a gold certificate or a silver certificate, and there was supposed to be an equal amount of gold, which was had a set price for the currency. So that's right. That's
right.
True money. That's what can be considered true money.
And the uses, and Mr. Beasley, you should also say what the significance of that is, because when there was, that's called substantive money, because when you had gold and silver certificates or gold-backed currency when you bought your house, it was yours. There were no taxes assessed on your property. Nobody could come and take your property for any reason. And,
correct.
Right?
What
the promissory note is stating is that I promise to pay you the gold and silver, basically.
It represented the gold and silver.
That money's worth.
Let me ask you this. Now, this is the problem with fiat currency. A $20 gold piece that was minted from they minted them all before 1933, it was worth $20, okay? Which means you would exchange this $20 gold piece, which contained a little bit less than an ounce of gold, 0.9666 something. It's about an ounce of gold. You exchanged it for a paper note, okay? So that paper note was a $20 bill or a $20 gold certificate. Look what's happened. Over the course, say, you know, since 1930 until now, in the past 80 years. Now, that $20 gold piece, okay, just as gold value alone, is about $1,300 in change in today's exchange rate. Whereas that $20 bill is still just worth $20.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the devaluation of the currency.
Yeah,
no, that's
always,
not that's the advent of fiat currency, not the devaluation.
Fiat currency,
once you went off the gold standard, then you started trading gold on the stock market, which
and it's no longer current, no longer
up.
Money.
It's no,
no,
exactly.
Gold,
it's a commodity.
Gold, no, no,
it's
that's
a
not,
commodity.
Not true with gold. You're close. Let me explain. And you're on the right. You're on the right track. Just let me just tune it up a little bit. Gold's value was $20 an ounce then. What Roosevelt did is he said it was illegal to have gold or gold coins. Sucked everybody's gold up and told them it was illegal to have gold and that you could be prosecuted for gold. So people, you know, some people hoarded, most people complied. Then what he did is he raised the value of gold from $20 an ounce to $35 an ounce, and it stayed that way all the way until like 1979 when Nixon took it off.
It's 71.
It's 71, okay. And I don't know if that's Bretton Woods or I forgot exactly what the meeting was. Then
mm-hmm.
he started trading freely. And it went right all the way up to $800 an ounce real quick and went back down. And that's the time when there's real high inflation. So there was a standard set rate of $35 an ounce for all this period of time. But they're pumping out plenty of dollars. But you were right on the right track. And I said enough.
But there's one important issue.
There's
one important issue that we didn't cover.
Bitcoin? Do y'all know about the Bitcoin?
Okay, y'all see we traded
on
Bitcoin.
Like
wait a minute. Wait, please wait. I beg you.
Okay.
May I just insert this before we jump to Bitcoin? The one thing we didn't talk about is the fact that when they took the gold away, which was money that was real money that you could own
right.
things, the difference
right.
is when they took that away, now you can no longer own anything. You don't own anything because you can't pay for anything because what you're getting, what you think you're getting when you get your paycheck is an IOU.
Exactly.
You're right. They gave you paper
exactly.
in exchange for
right.
They took real money and gave you this fiat currency.
But
it's
fiat currency is
a
debt system.
Money around. Or that fiat. When we pass that fiat around, we lie to each other saying, I promise to pay you that gold and silver that this is worth.
Well, no. It's no longer backed by gold and silver. It used
right,
to yeah,
yeah,
we understand that. What he's just said is true. Because you can't buy anything anymore. You can't own anything. You can't purchase anything with a debt. How can you buy something with a debt? It's an IOU.
And it says it on the bill. It says that.
It also says it in Modern Money Mechanics, Chicago Federal Reserve publication. It states right in there that it's not money.
Right.
It's an IOU.
Pull out any bill. It says a debt.
It's like you were saying before. It's all that stuff that's going on is our fault because we're accepting it. We accept
no, it's
it
not.
It is.
And we don't control
what
that.
What you have, you have these
the government or the people that are doing stuff. Well, not nobody does, but enough people don't do it. We don't have the numbers and strength. And that's
enough
what we need.
People don't
numbers
do what? Go live out in the forest and eat juniper roots and what?
Get together. Enough people don't get together to question these things and set it on the table. Is what I'm saying. You know, we don't have the numbers and strength for it. There are people that are fighting for it and that are out there, you know, in Congress office or in their faces stating a lot of these things, but we don't have the numbers and strength.
In whose office Congress is part of? Please. Congress is the ones that pass the statutes and regulations and U.S. codes that keep us slaves.
Remember, it's up to us. The people are the ones that can actually go against all that because they do it to utilize it on us. So it's up to the people. A Congress or a government can't run without the people.
But there's two governments. There's the U.S. Corporation, Inc., and I don't want to get off into that because Ron wants to talk about money. What I want to say is, see, I hear everybody keep talking about how to solve the problem, but everybody thinks that there's one way to solve the problem. Different people have different lifestyles. Everybody don't want to live in the woods. I'm too old to draw water from a well, okay? So the infrastructure, in my opinion, is there's nothing wrong with the infrastructure. The problem we have is the Federal Reserve and those crooks that are taking advantage of us by stealing wealth from us by using these phony pieces of paper. That's the problem. It's not the system.
Now,
people should be able to live
now,
like they want. You want to live up in the Ozarks or you want to live on a farm, if you want to live wherever you want to live, that's not the issue. The issue is how do we make the system work for everybody? Everybody's not the same. Everybody don't want to live like that.
Right. I don't mean to be negative. That's almost impossible.
Yeah, because all your politicians are billionaires now.
Right. That's
all your politicians are billionaires.
So what does that got to do with
go.
I just said?
That she
you're
what he's saying,
that
I think
go.
By saying the politicians are billionaires that they're in bed, that they're part of the problem.
That's what I said to the brother. I agree.
I think that's what he's saying.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you.
No, that's all right. What I was saying was I was just trying to draw a correlation in regards to what the sister was saying in terms of the way to change the system. We don't let this go so far for so long that now it's done spun out of control, and we're scrambling. And I understand what Jay is saying. I understand what the other brother is saying, which is true. The point of the matter is that they have us so fractured as a society.
Right.
Even if a million of us got together,
that's
a drop in the damn bucket. Man, there's 325 million people in this country. A million ain't nothing. They don't care about. They don't care about 10 million people getting together.
You know what a perfect example was? Was Occupy Wall Street. I'm like, wow,
right.
Look at all these people turning out. You know,
they
people
had no agenda. Everybody.
Yeah,
had,
they had an agenda. They had an agenda. We're the 99% and the 1%.
Right, but there was everybody had their own. You like what she just said. She said that everybody had their own problems. It wasn't
course,
organized.
That's the,
if it was
that's
organized,
the nature, that's
then it
the nature
been
of that's the nature. That's the nature of people. People are going to have different views and different opinions.
Of
a lot
course,
of us, that, a lot of us, a lot of us that frequent some of these shows, we have a lot of similar opinions or a general thought of thought of things, but we can't agree on a heck of a whole lot. So,
but does anybody? May I ask a question? And if you weren't finished talking, Mr. Beasley,
I'm
sorry.
I'm sorry, I talk too much.
No, you know, it's
go
I'm
ahead.
Just checking.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask a question. How many people agree that the infrastructure, the system that is in place of exchange and, you know, and going to the grocery store and so forth and so on, you know, not including the problem of Monsanto and all that. I'm not getting into that. I'm just talking about the infrastructure is the system is efficient, but it's just being misused. How many people agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, it's efficient. There's always food when I go to the store.
But,
to
no, I'm not
America.
Just talking about groceries. I'm talking about the banking system. I'm talking about the whole infrastructure of society. Is it that there's something wrong with that, or is it just that it's being misused? What if we can hold the people that's supposed to be representing us and supposed to be trustees and fiduciaries to serve the multitudes of the people? What if we can force them to do what they're supposed to do or get rid of them and put somebody in there that will do it?
It'll work right. It'll work right.
I couldn't
what?
Hear because two people were talking.
Go ahead.
It'll work right. If no, what you're saying, if we could do, if we could do what you just said, it would work.
There wouldn't
work
be a problem. Anybody want to live out on the range or grow food or whatever? That's beautiful. Everybody don't want to live the same way.
What about living in a high rise with a view of the city?
That's right.
That
and see, if they weren't stealing, if they weren't going in your birth certificate account, stealing your assets, then you could live in the high rise. Anybody want to live on the farm can live on the farm and grow cattle and grow food without chemicals in it. Everybody could be happy. Everybody don't want to live the same.
And I think what you need to do, once I always tell everybody, man, it starts with you. Once again, ends with you. Think about what you got to do to free yourself.
Right.
You got to
right.
That's the way it's supposed to be. That's supposed to be the freedom deal.
Once you
that's supposed to be contract freedom.
You, then maybe somebody else will follow. But as long as you have peace of mind with yourself and find out all the answers you need for you to be better, that's what you got to do, man, because you can't, you know, right now we already see it, man. No matter how many
the world.
Together, right? No matter how much people you get together with you as a crew, it's not going to work because everybody got their own state of mind and how they want
to
work.
I agree.
Everybody's their own universe. Everybody's their own universe and how they want things. And
so then, therefore, shouldn't we be looking at the system, the infrastructure that's in place, and examining what exactly is the problem? Then we correct that problem.
There's a lot
everybody
of
would be
live
is. How they want to live.
You know what? The problem is.
I'm just asking a question.
But the problem
right,
is systemic
right,
from
down.
One together. It's from one situation to another. Now, you just mentioned, you know, removing, you know, the infrastructure with the banks, but the money.
No, I didn't say remove
people.
Infrastructure with
okay.
the banks. I said make the banks work for the people. The banks should be run like a utility. The banks shouldn't be there for profit. They should be serving the community.
Oh, they'll hang you at dawn. That's socialism, which I don't really have a big problem with.
No, it's not socialism.
Yeah,
the bank should be
the
should be
there.
There
for
transactions.
I'm
sorry. I'm not talking about, I'm not perpetuating
like
the idea of socialism.
Like
and the bank should run like a utility, like the electric company or the water company.
Right,
they should not
you know,
the profit
the
business.
Is the electric company here in New York City runs for profit. So I mean,
hey,
it,
I'm making an example that they
I got you. I know
what
it should
run.
I know
you're
what you're
saying the bank should run like a credit union, but the banks are bigger than that, and a credit union is not for
right.
profit. A bank should
it's
run like a credit
money.
Union.
It's basically all
but
about
it's
money.
All about money.
It's just like the insurance companies, like an insurance company with cars, a home. They basically make more money. I mean, how much people do they really get the damage that the people are paying? You know, so you.
But
pay
we're talking. But what
you know
if
what
they We never get to how it could be, how it could look.
Right, but that's
what if they did? What if they were, the banks were, because the banks used to provide services for the community before they had the central bank. That is exactly how banks used to run.
The idea of loaning money and being a money changer has been for profit forever.
Right. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mr. Beasley.
Yes.
That was what the whole fight was in this country, to keep the central bank out. And then they got control in 1913.
That's
they tried
correct.
Before that. And
that's
they shut, who was it, Andrew Jackson, Ron, that shut the central bank down and created
mm-hmm.
the first national bank?
I think
Ron, are you there?
Right. I just read that. It
right,
was Andrew
yeah.
Johnson
yep.
after Lincoln.
Right,
I
so
that.
It's not true
right.
that it's always run that
but,
way
but
in this country. And that's why this country became so great and so wealthy, because they didn't have bloodsuckers stealing
right.
their wealth.
But banks have existed, and money changers and people that loan money on
but
interest
it's
have
beginning.
Existed before this country, right?
Yes.
We understand that. But Ron said he wanted to
it
talk about money
with,
today. He don't want to.
It
he,
all
he
started
said he didn't,
with a blacksmith. It started.
Well,
with
it started when the gold. People that was housing the gold start melting down the gold, because when the people start using paper, they didn't often go check about their gold. So the people
that was
the keeping
black
the gold, people. Melting it down and loaning it out to other people. So they was just thieves.
Right,
this whole system is based on theft.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But look, how they control the country.
They call it today, they call
country.
It fractional reserve banking.
Right.
I mean, they came mm-hmm. into this country wrong. You know how they end up, look when they came to take over this country where Indians are in little spots of America, you know, and that's their freedom. You know, I mean, you got to see the structure of this country. So you would always expect that there's going to be something under their sleeve, or is based on corruption somewhere or another, because everything
but,
is about profit. And they don't let.
But once again, we're focusing on them. Now, what about us?
Right.
What? How can we envision or imagine a better system? See, we can't even comprehend a better system, because that's
right.
why we always fall back to talking about what's wrong,
you know what?
And we don't have no conversations about how would it look if it was right for everybody.
All of our lives, we don't know another system.
Well, that's why we're here talking. Let us brainstorm and let us use our creative minds to envision. And each person, it'll be different for everybody. See, so when everybody can have a vision and they can tell how they see, then we can see maybe something that could work for everybody. But we have to envision it.
Right.
But do you absolutely need a bank to live?
To beat the system, there is a way. There's so many ways of doing it. The only thing is that we're wasting our time with the football game, the
That's
baseball
true.
Game, the freaking
so we ain't watching no game today. We are here. These people that are on this audience right here, come here.
Sister,
y'all
see,
in this
problem, right? And
every
I'm
night.
What's the problem? Listen, this is what's the problem.
Oh,
now,
no. The
even
problem
though,
is you're focusing on
though,
people who want to change. We want to change.
Okay,
we're here talking
down,
with each other. We have ideas.
Hello, even though we may not do it, we may not be the ones watching the soap opera, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we are stuck with.
Why do we have to worry about them? Remember, it's personal responsibility. You can't control or change anyone else. You can only control yourself.
Hello, can I speak? Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen.
I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is this. Listen, you're saying why them, no, well, it's them and us and all that. But it's about, listen, we've been conditioned, all right? Us here now, the ones on the phone right now, we've been conditioned not to progress the way we want. And
well, you can change that, and only you can change that. But you can make
a decision.
No, you can make a decision right now.
Listen. You seek, and you shall find. When you quest for your freedom, when you quest for what you want, you get it. But we've been conditioned. Once again, you know and I know that sometimes, even in life, we don't even look for that. We're stuck with so much other bullshit that we're conditioned with. You know?
We all have our weaknesses. I have.
Right now, to
set them on the side and put them in the cupboard and shut the door, and let's talk about what can be done. See, we ain't gonna never change anything. No, when you start off with "I think because I'm conditioned," then you might as well forget it. You might as well forget it.
In this sense, once again, are you ready? Are you ready to give up your birth certificate? and all that, not use it?
No, I'm going to tell you why. Because that solves the problem of those who want to live on off the grid and want to live on their land. They don't want to be bothered with society. They want to be peaceful, all that, fine. I say that this is a global trust. All of that belongs to us. And when those that are stealing from us make us whole, because we're the ones who create value. They don't produce anything. It's people who labor that have built this country. No, you know what my vision is? My vision is those who've been stealing from us for all these thousand years should be in the FEMA camps that they set up for us to be in. That's my vision.
That's not going to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen. See, why are you so quick to see a defeatist? You know, we're talking about 530 crooks in Congress, and I forget how many in the Senate, and that ain't very many people that can be arrested if the military wake up.
435
and we're talking about this right now. We know that they're stealing and robbing. Let me tell you something. Every time the bankers steal from people and they get caught, you know how much they penalize them for? How can somebody
nothing,
has,
but you know what? You're convinced that we can't do anything. So that's okay. That it's hopeless. We have no power. We can't do anything. We can't even think. We can't even envision or create in our minds a vision. So therefore, you're right. Ain't nothing going to happen. If we can't even envision it in our own minds, if we can't even discuss it and verbalize what we want to be, what do we want it to be, you're absolutely right. Nothing's going to change. If all we keep doing is flipping back to what we can't do because what they're doing, we ain't going
to
do anything. You're right.
Our mind. We have to recondition our mind to start thinking.
Well, let's do it now.
You know?
Let's do it now.
Good evening, family.
Can I say one more thing? This is what it is, sister. This ain't the thing now. But anything that any one of us bring up, it's gonna sound like it's heavy. So it's gonna sound like we can't do that. Wait a minute, no, we can't. You know what I'm saying? And we don't have that ability to think really that way. To go, let's do this, let's do that.
My brother, first of all,
excuse me.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
Excuse me.
Hey, what's up, sis? How you doing?
Hey, otherwise.
I'm good. Somebody
please.
Ready to say something?
Yeah, speak on it.
I just wanted to close real quick. I just said, look, everything that you were saying is correct to a certain degree. The thing is that if you're saying, okay, well, we don't know the problem. Yeah, we know the problem. The main thing that needs to change is the opposite of what they're doing. You know, whatever they're doing now is not working. So, or not working for the people. So whatever they're doing needs to be turned around, the opposite of what's being done. I mean, I think that's the most simplest thing way to put it. I mean, it's not simple to do it, but I'm saying that that's what really has to change in order for anything to be different. You know, the opposite of what's going on right now in the system.
Ottawa, what do you think about that?
Well, first I want to say hello to everyone. This is
Ottawa. Oh, how you doing? Good evening.
And I've been listening to the dialogue for a while now, and what comes up periodically is the word value. I think it's very important that we look at how we have displaced our value. You know, I think, and I'm not real clear myself, but listening, I know that it is my responsibility to direct my value. I mean, if I'm not going to place value where it's not going to benefit me. So I think I know for myself, I'm going to look at that word and where I place my value. Because my grandparents, they valued themselves so much that they were very responsible for what it was that they needed to sustain themselves. And I don't see that happening right now in my family, in my neighbors. You know, we're looking out for this value. And maybe someone can help me with that.
understand, yeah. I understand exactly what you mean. I mean, I think it, what you're saying basically is what I was saying before, the value of self, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, we have to really think about what it is that we really, really need in life, you know, for our families, for ourselves, you know. We did lose that. You're absolutely right. We did lose it in the sense of what we were saying from the beginning with the fiat currency, with the money, how we basically thought that this was more important than anything else, you know. It seems like right nowadays we feel like the so-called money is worth more than a human's life, mm-hmm. you know. And right now is where we lose when we start to think that way. You know, we really have to, I mean, like you said right now, your grandparents or your parents, you know, did what they did accordingly, you know, they valued themselves according to what they had to do in life to sustain, right? So we lost that. Why we lost that? Because we started thinking different. We started thinking that materialistic things are more important than a human life, than ourselves.
And it was mentioned earlier about our sustaining this oppression that we exist, but our existence is just, you know, I don't know if you all have read Neely Fuller's book, The Compensatory Code, for Victims of White Supremacy.
Okay.
And the only way that white supremacy exists is because we maintain it. We see right into it. We go get married. We get approval from the system. We get a divorce. We have to get that sanctioned. Everything we running away from ourselves. All we have to do is say, brother, I commit myself to you. That's enough.
I agree 100%.
Should be. I don't believe in marriage. I think you're right about that.
Going back to what she said, the other sister said about, you know, all right, I don't want to live out in the forest or stuff like that, but part of being, you know, breaking the system is also being self-sufficient, going, not dealing with the energy company and becoming, you know, because then you're breaking down now systems that they're making money in where a lot of times it hurts with, you know, where they say hit them in where it hurts, in their pocket. So
the main idea with all this is, once again, you know, studying. We got to study and get information basically about what it is that we need to do to survive in any kind of way, you know what I'm saying, how to get out of certain things, the bond contracts that we have with the government, you know, read about those things. I mean, find out what it is that we need to do with sovereignty, you know, things of that nature. These are the stuff that exists that we are dealing with in this day and time that a lot of people don't even know about, you know. So we got to learn how to deal with sovereignty. We got to learn how to deal with, you know, the system itself and how to get out of these bond contracts that we're in right now. You know, that's what's really hurting us, you know. The bond that we have with the government, that we basically, you know, didn't do it intentionally, but, you know, it was like a scam.
You know,
now we got to learn how to get out of it.
I find when people are earning and the future looks bright and they're making money, that a lot of this, you know, talk is not really heard. I don't know how many people would be willing to completely, you know, extract themselves from just some of the basic stuff, you know, that you've had growing up and you've had all your life.
Right.
Water, lights, a paved road, you know, not to mention, you know, cable television, the internet, and phones. It's hard to take that step voluntarily.
Right.
I'm not willing to do it.
And Mr. Beasley.
Yes, I'm not willing to do it. I want to. I can't see myself dismantling or changing the system. That's just me. I feel powerless against this system.
What about your house? You own your own house?
No, I don't. I lease the place.
Oh, okay, okay. Because I mean, you know.
But
I have
owned property, and you know, and I've owned condominiums, and I felt like, you know, I felt like a slave there sometimes because I'm ruled by a dictatorial homeowners association.
But Mr. Beast.
Ma'am, yes.
I'm sorry if you're not finished speaking. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
All I wanted to interject was two things. One, all property is owned in the state. It's an illusion that you own any property. Number two, no one else has a right to impose a way of life on anyone else. If someone wants to turn in their birth certificate, be called sovereign.
No,
if you're using...
Wait a minute, I promise I won't be long. Go ahead. I want to address this.
I'm talking to the other brother. If you call yourself sovereign because you're living out in the woods or wherever you're living and you have to come into town to put fuel in your automobile, you're still dealing with Federal Reserve notes, there's no way that you can completely divorce yourself from this system that's imposed on us. So that's the reason why I was trying to direct the conversation to look at the infrastructure and how it can be changed so everybody can live the lifestyle they want to live. If you want to live on a farm, fine. But just turning in your birth certificate, that's that old sovereignty talk that some people have successfully done it. They don't pay income tax. They have their land. They are not bothered with society. That's great. I don't have anything against that. I think that's wonderful. But it doesn't work for everybody. I'm sorry, it just doesn't.
I just wanted to comment on, and forgive me for not remembering the lady that was speaking before,
the caller, Ottawa.
I think what she was talking about goes a lot deeper than what we're talking about. When you start talking about values, see, now you're talking about intrinsic qualities. That goes beyond the material. And I think that where we are today in today's world, not just America, but just in the world today, we are morally, ethically, and spiritually bankrupt as human beings, as a group. I'm not saying everybody's that way, but I'm saying when you look at the aggregate, when you look at the whole of it, okay, we get to watch stuff on the news, some guy dancing in the middle of the street in New York, surrounded by cops, and cops are shooting. This guy is 6'5", they can't hit him, and then they're hitting people in the crowd. Then we got to hear about somebody getting shot over here, kids getting shot and killed, kids' education system closing. Okay, we got health care issues. Okay, we've totally redefined what marriage is compared to what it's been for thousands of years. We got all of this moral and ethical upheaval that's going on in the midst of all of this economical, military turmoil, and all of this stuff is going on at the same time, and I really feel what she's saying. I'm not a pessimist, and I wrestle with that every day, and that's one of the reasons why I don't watch the news, because it's so depressing, and I just don't know how. And the only time I ever see people come together as a group of people is when disaster strikes. That's the only time when we just drop everything. It don't matter what color you are. It don't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your sexual preference is. When devastation hits, we all realize how fragile our lives are. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, hold up. This is serious. We got to do something about it. And I'm just one of those people who feels that, you know, the system is going to have to virtually implode. And then, through the ashes, those of us who are strong enough, who have a strong enough constitution, can rise up out of that and create this new system that we're all talking about that we need and actually want to have. That's all I wanted to interject on that.
So it comes back to personal responsibility, because values is something each individual has to determine. Being integral with your word, You know, people I experienced living in Ghana, where people don't have very much material stuff. I mean, they're literally looking for their daily bread, okay, selling vegetables to get a little piece of bowl of rice for that day. That's it. And so I observed their culture is more about relationships. So we got to get out of this tribalism and this idea of different races. You know, it doesn't mean you don't love people that's like you, but you can love everybody. We're an extended family.
Agreed.
Exactly. Well, hey, I hate to cut in quick, but we're going to close this show down real quick, kids. I want to shout out to my girl Antoinette. I hope you're okay. You hear the archives. You know, either way, give me a call. Let me know what's up with you. I'm really concerned, and so is everybody else. Because Sister Antoinette was not with us tonight. You know, I really miss her, and I need her back. But anyway, I want to thank Sister Nagonia for being here with me tonight. Definitely thank you a bunch. I appreciate you coming to help me with this. Brown Beasley, Atomic Ray, East Coast, a couple guests right here in N2K. I'm glad to see all you here tonight. Slow news day, definitely was that. But I definitely appreciate and love each and every one of you for coming. You know, we do all back in the air again tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. I'm sorry I'm not going overtime because I'm going to try to find Antoinette. So let's find out in the next hour.
I hope she's all right.
It was good dialogue. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Oh, good anytime. Dialogue. Anytime. You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. But anyway, kids, it's been fun. It's been a blast as usual, always. But I'm going to jump off here real quick, and I'm going to kick a song up for us real quick. We can have some type of peace and soul to us and just kick back, take care of each other, and have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, all. Good.
One night only, and so heavy.
Johnny Taylor, Soul Heaven. Hey, this is Ron Reck. Thank you for listening live on BTR. This is the Ron Reck Show. Have a good evening.